I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. This is show number 17, and today is Saturday, August 29th, 2020. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife, Annette, and I have run our own local chain of shoe stores, Allen Shoes, since 1982. As hosts of the show, Rob and I are committed to serving you, our listening audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created the show to try and help the efforts of small business owners to recover from the coronavirus impact. Somehow, maybe by design, the show turned into a show where we add a little laughter, and I think that's good. Through all of our shows, though, we've been discussing the latest news, and on most shows, we interviewed leaders in our community that have shared with you their experience, their knowledge, and some have shared their stories of struggles and success. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Our website is B2BTucson.com. That's B-T-O-B-Tucson.com. And I'm talking to you from the studio today, but Rob is on the air in Flagstaff today where he took a couple of weeks of R&R. Rob, was it my constant bad jokes that stressed you out and forced you to take a vacation?
Well, Alan, it's kind of, with Facebook, hard to get away from your bad jokes. But I think I hold the final say, and I vetoed a ton of stuff since I really care about our listeners. So let's get back to business. I've got an article here I'd like to share with our listeners, if that's okay. And the title of it is Pandemic-Fueled Automation is Gobbling Up Jobs and Will Never Get Them Back. This is an article that came out just a couple of days ago. The COVID-19 pandemic has had massive economic impacts in the United States, and one of the problems many companies have been facing as a result is how to keep business moving along without putting employees at risk of being infected. As you might expect, one of the many ways businesses are staying operational is by automating tasks that would otherwise be done by humans. Robots, after all, aren't at risk of dying from COVID-19. Since the pandemic began, we've seen efforts to automate jobs increase significantly in the food service industry, manufacturing, meatpacking, grocery stores, and beyond. Due in part to this pandemic, some economists estimate 2 million manufacturing jobs will be gone forever by 2025. We were already heading toward an era where more jobs could be automated than ever before, but COVID-19 has greatly increased the speed at which we may see that happen. David Autor, a professor of economics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, tells Digital Trends he's not surprised that we're seeing an increase in automation efforts. COVID-19 creates a kind of automation forcing event where you have a scarcity of workers in many activities where you don't have a decline in demand. So you're going to kind of induce innovation, says Autor. One thing Autor has been focusing on lately is how people getting used to video conferencing is in itself a form of automation. He says people who are doing business over video chat instead of meeting in person means fewer people are traveling, eating out at restaurants, booking hotel rooms, leasing offices, and more. He says we should do very well see a situation where many things we used to do in person are done over video chat as people get more used to operating in that manner. I think you're going to see a permanent substantial decline in business travel. The number of people who are going to cross continents for 90-minute meetings is going to fall reasonably substantially, Autor says. That's going to have a very, very large ripple effect because business travelers are basically the tail that wags the dog of the entire hospitality industry. Many restaurants, hotels, airlines, and other businesses rely on business travels for a large part of their revenue. So if there are fewer business travelers because of video conferencing, that could cause a lot of companies to go out of business or keep fewer people employed. Autor says this will partially occur because people's habits have changed in the business world during COVID, and partially because businesses realize it's simply more cost-effective to do things over a video chat. Part of it is habits. We're going to change our habits. Part of it is we're going to realize there were better ways to do things that were available to us that we weren't using, says Autor. The longer this goes on, the more habits learned will persist. Outside of the effects of video conferencing gaining in popularity, we'll also see the more traditional forms of automation continue to increase. Carl Fry, an economic historian at Oxford University and an internationally known automation expert, tells Digital Trends that there are multiple ways we'll see automation increase. Companies strive to cut costs during downturns. Routine jobs, which can easily be automated, vanished during the Great Recession and didn't come back thereafter, contributing to a jobless recovery. Companies will want to pandemic-proof their operations. While e-commerce has been given a boost by social distancing, pressure has rightly been mounting on retailers of non-essential goods to close online operations as warehouses have become overcrowded. Fry says that there have been significant advances in developing robotic hands that can pick and sort products of varying sizes and shapes. And once that technology has been perfected, companies like Amazon will need far fewer people in its warehouses. So interesting article, Alan, about what's coming down the line.
Yeah, I agree that there's lots of changes. Some businesses are doing better, Rob, and some businesses are not holding up during the pandemic. You know, we've reached out and had some people here from the restaurant industry, and some of those businesses have been shut and possibly for forever. So we're really concerned about it. But the automation article was very interesting. I've got some housekeeping things here, some tidbits of advice that Rob and I have for you in this situation here. And one is to read your contracts, because some of you who think that some things are happening and you just don't remember, you think you have a good memory about what your contract says that you need to do with one of your service providers or your advertising agency or your advertising provider. And in there might be some provisions that you need to read to update yourself, because you may have had some timetables that you needed to meet. And I'm going to suggest that you read your contract you have out there. Advice number two is how to treat absences due to COVID for new employees. So I'll give you an example. You might have a new employee on your force and on your sales floor or in your store, in your office, and that person has a COVID scare because a relative or a close friend is testing positive for COVID, and they have to go out and get a test. Well, if that employee is new to you, you need to look at the average number of hours they've worked in the last week or two, and that's what you need to pay them for when they go out for that test. You are required to pay them when they're out for a COVID test, and but there's ways to do it, and then you deduct that amount from your Social Security tax payments, and that's going to be a little bit more complicated now as we talk about what's going on with the sales tax issues, and we'll see if we can get to that article later on. The third piece of advice is the care and feeding of your staff, and that's really essential because all of them are going through this pandemic and having issues either at home or relating to different things, and their life is upset just as your life is upset, and you need to pay special attention or have someone on your staff pay special attention to make sure your staff is well cared for. Today, we're going to talk about three major segments of our business. In segment two, which will be after our commercial break, we're going to talk about news articles that are health-oriented. In segment three, we've got some things to talk about here which have to do with the political conventions. And segment four, we're talking about laughter and the pandemic. It's part of our ongoing series. We have a little segment today about sarcasm, and that's part of the laughter in the pandemic story. And then we have, again, our Putz of the Week awards. So, Rob, why don't we break before we do this article here, and then we'll come back and read some of this stuff about health-oriented stuff. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. Our call-in line is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR. 298-DOOR. ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes, and this is Back to Business with Rob and Alan. Rob, can you pull up that article that we had about children and sending them back to school? Because I think that relates a little bit to our health topic here.
Absolutely, Alan. This is an article by the parenting expert Emily Oster, and the title is, Should You Send Your Child Back to School During the Pandemic?
Well, I think that it's related to our business topic here, too, because our business owners have kids at home, and they have responsibility to take care of them if they can't send them back to school. Is that true, Rob?
That's true. So people divide themselves into opposing camps, breast versus bottle feeders, gamers versus screen-free homes, scuffles break out on Facebook, on all kinds of things. You've got maskers and no maskers, and now you've got this issue. To this, the coronavirus has added a new dilemma. Are you sending your kid back to school? It's an impossible choice, so much so that schools themselves are having trouble making a call and sticking to it. In the past few weeks, as New York City schools rolled out hybrid learning plans and the mayor retweaked all of these, publicly battled with teachers' unions, this woman agonized over the question of whether or not to send her 2.5-year-old daughter to daycare. After a few grueling, sometimes magical months of family quarantine, her father and she said they were going to be desperate. Their jobs are not compatible with running an in-home preschool. We prepared to enroll her, she said, but as the date approached, new information kept coming along that rattled my confidence. The school in Georgia, the camp in Texas, the headlines proclaiming that children under 5 are walking around with a high viral load in their noses was like sending us all off a cliff. Seeking reassurance, I logged on to Facebook, where I found even more desperation in various mom groups. Please tell me I'm not the only one torn on the decision, someone had written in a group for Brooklyn moms. A torrent of anguish followed. This entire ordeal has set us back immensely. I feel like I'm forced to choose between his health and his brain. Subway's going to be a filthy fiasco. The school has no clue how they're going to clean and with what products. We work from home and it's impossible to do remote learning with two kids, do homework and work. I have to lose my first job for this? The women's and families health startup Maven, which connects users with healthcare providers like pediatricians and OBGYNs, has seen a 300% spike in the use of its mental health services since the pandemic began. Psychiatrists and coaches reported that while the causes were all over the map, unemployment, marital problems, existing depression or anxiety that had been made worse by lockdowns, one of the biggest stressors was childcare. Maven commissioned a survey of 1,000 parents and found that as of August, 63% of them were still undecided about whether or not to send their children back to school. The company's founder and CEO, Kate Ryder, said people are so stressed out that they're not able to make these decisions. Couples are struggling. Each partner might be on a different side of questions like, is it safe to ride the subway or not? To help them, the company partnered with an expert in the realm of parental decision-making. Emily Oster, a health economist at Brown University, whom I profiled last year and whose books Expecting Better and Crib Sheet on Pregnancy and Child-Rearing, respectively, have won her Dr. Spock status among a certain type of new parent, the type likely to take metrics into account in their daily decision-making. Oster has a knack for interpreting scientific data for a broad audience. Like Stephen Levitt, the Freakonomics author, she applies an economist's tools and an economist's cool-headed temperament to unlikely and fraught subjects as pregnancy, diets, potty training, and the daycare versus nanny question. Naturally, she's been in demand in the era of COVID-19. It's been all COVID all the time, she told me last week from her home in Providence, where like all working parents, she was taking calls while nominally supervising a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old. She co-chaired Brown's reopening task force and co-created a website, COVID Explained, which provides an overview of medical and scientific knowledge about the virus. She also writes a parenting newsletter, Parent Data, in which she has been attempting to bring fact-based reasoning to parents grappling with the latest coronavirus news. In general, she said her readers' mental state is poor. I think the uncertainty is what's really weighing on people. The world is very confusing right now. No one feels good about any of their choices. Some of our confusion has to do with our expectations. There's a bunch of people like the president and even people who are not so terrible saying kids don't get it, she explained. So we're stunned when we read about instances in which kids do get COVID-19. Meanwhile, the actual truth is nuanced. Kids tend to have very mild infections. They do not seem to get very sick in most cases. It's not that they can't get sick, but it's rare. That piece is the degree which they transmit the virus if they get it. And I think our best data suggests that younger kids probably do transmit it less efficiently than older adults, although not everyone would say that was totally settled. So it's another issue out there, Alan, that everybody's got to deal with.
Yeah, I personally have an opinion that even if they transmit the virus less effectively, I still think that there's a lot of unknowns about this topic, Rob, and I would be very concerned if I have children at home that I needed to send to school. I'd want to make sure that I visited the school and I understood what they were doing, and then I had a backup plan. You know, currently, while I don't have school-age children at home, and, you know, we do have some grandkids, but their parents are taking good care and attention to this issue, I do have Bagel at home, and I think that I need a plan to send her to out for the day because I think she's going stir crazy. At least I know I am, Rob.
Well, Alan, just make sure that they socially distance wherever you send her. You know, the other thing about the schooling is the teachers and the administrators. I mean, many of these people have underlying health issues, and, you know, it's a tough situation. I know several people that don't want to go back to teaching. A good friend of mine is a substitute. He's been getting calls every single day to come to school, and him, like a lot of others, are turning it down. And I'm imagining that the school districts are going to have to come up with some kind of hazard pay to get people to cover these classrooms.
You know, I think you have another article that was also an interesting current topic, and that it has to do with people who might be able to or not be able to. You know, you got to figure it out. Have COVID twice. Rob, do you have something to say about that one?
I do, Alan. Scientists have found the first solid evidence that people can be reinfected with the virus that causes COVID-19. A new study shows a 33-year-old man who was treated at the hospital for a mild case in March harbored the virus again when he was tested at the Hong Kong airport after returning from Europe on 15 August, less than 5 months later. He had no symptoms this time. Researchers had sequenced the virus, SARS-CoV-2, from the first infection. They did so again after the patient's second diagnosis and found numerous differences between the two, bolstering the case that the patient had been infected a second time. This case proves that at least some patients do not have lifelong immunity, according to Kelvin To, a clinical microbiologist at the University of Hong Kong and one of the authors of the paper on the case. Exactly what that finding means is unclear. To and his colleagues have made some sweeping statements in their paper, parts of which science has seen. It's unlikely that herd immunity can eliminate SARS-CoV-2, the authors write, referring to the idea that the epidemic will peter out once enough people have been infected and become immune. Second, vaccines may not be able to provide lifelong protection against COVID-19, but it's too early to draw those conclusions. Fueling the debate over the importance of the case is that the paper on it isn't public yet, which means scientists can't scrutinize its data in full. Hong Kong University put out a press release about the study and said the paper had been accepted for publication by the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases to confirm that a few pages of the manuscript circulating online were from the paper, but said he could not make the full text available. This is why I loathe data disclosure by press release, Rasmussen wrote. It seems designed to stoke sensationalism by leaving all those provocative questions unanswered, some of which could probably be answered by just reading the paper and examining the figures. There have been several reports of COVID-19 patients testing positive for SARS-CoV-2 again after apparently clearing their infection. But in those cases, there was less time between the tests, and researchers did not have sequences of the viruses to confirm there were two different infections. Many of these cases were likely testing errors, said Jeffrey Barrett, a genomic epidemiologist at the Wellcome Sanger Institute. I wasn't convinced by any of them, he said. In the current case, the press release and paper experts say the HKU scientists found 24 differences between the first and second viral genome, including one in the first virus that truncates a gene known as ORF8. There's sort of no chance that it's the same infection twice, Barrett says. It's much more convincing than any other anecdotal reports that have come out so far. Even if the finding settles the questions of whether people can be reinfected with a virus, it raises many additional questions. How often does this happen? Do people have milder infections or no symptoms at all the second time around? Can they still infect others? If natural infection does not always confer solid protection, will that be true for vaccines as well? Tu says he believes reinfections are not rare, just difficult to find. This case is very special because he was screened at the airport. Under normal circumstances, he might not even have been aware that he was infected again. If reinfections are more likely to lead to asymptomatic cases, Tu notes, they may be tougher to spot. So, another issue out there to worry about, Alan.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about the university there, and then you had, can you reach, at least read, because we're coming across a hard break in a little bit over 2 minutes, Rob, can you read at least the headline and maybe the first paragraph of that story about how many coronavirus cases are at universities?
Sure, Alan. Survey finds more than 26,000 coronavirus cases at U.S. universities since the pandemic began. A New York Times survey found more than 26,000 coronavirus cases have been reported at U.S. universities. Newspapers surveyed more than 1,500 American colleges and universities to determine that more than 26,000 cases and 64 deaths have been identified at more than 750 institutions. The data comes as many college students across the nation are returning to in-person instruction, and COVID-19 cases have been uncovered in dorms, Greek rows, and at college bars in the past few weeks. Seven large public universities in the South have documented more than 500 cases each, and more than 30 institutions have reported more than 200 each. The survey included every four-year public institution, every private college that competes in NCAA sports, and others that have reported cases. Due to reporting differences between the institutions, the Times highlighted the number of cases throughout the entire pandemic, noting all cases may not be currently active. While this is believed to be the most comprehensive survey available, it is also an undercount, the Times wrote, noting at least 600 institutions ignored inquiries or refused to answer questions, and more than 150 counted zero cases. And, you know, Alan, I saw an article in the Arizona Republic today that several hundred cases have already been reported at Arizona State University down in Tempe, and more are coming.
Yeah, it's down for you, Rob, because you're in Flagstaff. It's up for me because I'm in Tucson. But we also have an issue at the U of A. Anyhow, we're going to be breaking for our commercial break and the news real shortly here. So catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. And it's a B2B, that's B-T-O-B, Tucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. Our call online at 790-2040. We'll be right back after our commercial break.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra wide widths of men's and women's shoes. The best selection of wide width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
For years now, you've heard me say, don't get steamed, call Steamy. But have you ever wondered why? Imagine this. You have a leak, overflow, or some sort of water intrusion into your home. It may have even caused mold to start growing. So you get on the internet and look for someone to fix it. You find some advertisements online that look promising, call around, and probably hire the first person that says they can get out right away. You wait for hours on end, and when the doorbell finally rings, you're greeted by a fast-talking salesman that is anything but professional. And then, you guessed it, you got steamed. By what I call the water damage wannabes, and they are well on their way to taking advantage of your bad situation. This is why the very best plumbers, realtors, roofers, and insurance agents only refer Steamy Concepts to their customers for mold and water damage restoration, period. Steamy Concepts works with all insurance carriers and will always come out for free 24 hours, 7 days a week to inspect your mold and water damage problems. Go to steamyconcepts.com to schedule us out right now.
ROC number 291-200.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947. Go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson. You know, Rob, you're talking to the our listening audience from Flagstaff. I want to remind them I'm in the studio in Tucson, so sometimes there's a little glitch here and there, but we've been doing pretty good here. You know, it's very hard to do a show every week, Rob, without making some mention, especially this week, about what's going on in politics. So this week, I wanted to lightly touch about the political convention. But before we do that, let me get back to that. We had a listener call in during our break, Rob, and I just wanted to cover what they're talking about. So they made a suggestion that they wanted to know the relationship between COVID-19, maybe its reoccurrence, and other infections, including SARS, influenza, and HIV. So I found this article on a website called it's Contagion Live, and I'm not pronouncing that word yet, but I'm going to read you the article. It was written by Kevin Kunzman. It was published a couple of weeks ago. And it says, obviously, the coronavirus 2019 COVID-19 pandemic is novel in its absolute effect on healthcare in patients and on society as a whole. It is an unprecedented outbreak in size, scale, and speed, and has resulted in entirely unique measures of response and discourse in a matter of months. But it does ring a bell for some I'm not really good at pronunciation, but it's epidemiologist. Now you know why Rob reads the news and I don't. But not the entire virus, but parts of its characteristics, most difficult questions, its ultimate effects on patients, likens to other outbreaks. Last week, the research pioneer David Ho, MD, joined HCP Live and the American Lung Association on LungCast to discuss the up-to-date burden of COVID-19 and what future optimal responses would look like from vaccines to public health practices. Being a world-leading virology expert, Ho also made note of a trio of past viruses in which he sees similarities and stark differences with COVID-19. So it's either close to or not like these other things. But it does have some relationships to the outbreaks of these other viruses, Rob. And I just wanted to call that, and maybe some our listeners can research it on the internet, because it just came to us during the break here. So I'm not prepared to really speak to the whole thing. But there is some relationship, and understanding how all viruses are transmitted is vitally important to everyone as a whole right now. Because if you don't believe that it's how easily transmitted the COVID virus is, Rob, you might agree that you may not be as willing to wear a mask. So I think people need to understand just how all these viruses are transmitted, and that each one has a different method of transmission. And understanding that might help you relate to what's going on and may change your belief about whether a mask is important or not right now. Would you agree with that, Rob?
I do, Alan, and the fact that the numbers in Arizona over the past several weeks have gone down significantly, I think there's got to be something to it, because even up here in Flagstaff, every store we go into, people have masks on, the restaurants, everywhere you go. So there's got to be some correlation, and because I think yesterday in the state there was only 600 new cases reported, maybe 60 or 40 in Tucson, not a huge number. So hopefully these things are working, and we can get control of this virus. And, we've got flu season coming up also. So there's just a lot of things that we have to be aware of.
So I touched a little bit, Rob, about our belief system here. And I think that this kind of plays into the next article here and some information you're going to be talking about, because I think we all know that the way that the Democrats convention, which was 2 weeks ago, and this last week was a Republican convention, how they dealt with it and what they felt about the virus and mask was vitally different between these political conventions. But I bet, Rob, that you have some information about some other contrasts between the political conventions, don't you?
I do, Alan. The title of the article is "The Striking Contrast Between the Democratic and Republican Conventions." After testing every staff member, reporter, and individual near the former vice president for 2 days in a row and asking members of the crowd to stay in or near their socially distant cars, Joe Biden and his wife still wore masks as they watched fireworks together away from the cheering audience after his acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention. Asked if the precautions taken to prevent the spread of coronavirus were excessive, the senior staff of the Democratic National Convention Committee responded that the health and safety of the staff, candidates, and everyone involved was the most important part of the 4 days of programming. Moreover, they wanted to set an example. Vice President Biden recognized what President Trump does not seem to, that masks are very important.
You know,
Chair of the Republican.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
In the terms of their approach to coronavirus safety, Democrats and Republicans have largely followed different standards, resulting in strikingly different images over the course of their two conventions. On the third night of the Republican National Convention, for instance, President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence stepped down from the stage at the Fort McHenry National Monument and greeted the crowd of a few hundred supporters. While they did not shake hands, they also did not wear masks. Pence could be seen giving a fist bump to at least one member of the crowd. Chair of the Republican National Committee, Rona McDaniel, said she was not up to speed on all of the precautions taken at Fort McHenry. McDaniel said she was tested for the virus Tuesday before attending the First Lady's address at the White House and again ahead of the President's speech at the White House Thursday. Delegates who traveled to Charlotte, North Carolina for some of the party meetings were tested before they left and after they landed in the state. So this is the thing the White House and the RNC and the president is pushing forward, McDaniel said. We have to take the precautions we need to. Wear a mask, social distance, take precautions. But at the same time, we can balance that with being together and continuing to move forward with our lives. When asked about safety protocols for the major speeches and events, the Republican convention team did not offer any specific details about their standards or procedures, except to say that masks were encouraged but not required for event attendees. The president's campaign staff told reporters that they worked with a medical firm, Petronas Medical, to ensure consistent screenings and the safety and well-being of all individuals at the convention venues. Republicans did choose to limit most of their speeches with audiences to safer outdoor spaces, and the White House has routinely tested people who may be within close proximity to the president when he is on official business. So a little bit of difference between the two.
You know, I was interrupting you there because I really wanted to talk about mask here, and I wanted to remind our listeners that Rob and I are pro-maskers, or we are anti-maskers, as we've labeled ourselves before. And we are in my business, and we are, when you come into my business, Alan Shoes, we will give you a mask if you don't have one. So, and even a cloth mask, which we have a supply of from that group, Sewing Masks for Tucson, and they're a Facebook group, and I want to remind people that they are one of the groups of volunteers that are spending their time doing something productive and helpful to their fellow citizens by making masks and handing them out at various events, and you can pick them up at any of our Allen Shoe stores. As we're talking about masks, Rob, we also have some issues where some people are saying one thing and doing another, and I think that's our governor, is it not?
It is, Alan, and we've got an interesting article from Fox 10 in Phoenix. Headline says, Governor Doug Ducey pushes masks but goes without in big crowd. It's Mask Up Arizona to prevent spread of the coronavirus, according to Governor Doug Ducey, but the Republican governor was seen without a mask at Thursday night's White House lawn speech where President Donald Trump formally accepted his party's presidential nomination. Ducey was spotted by TV cameras mingling with a crowd of about 1,500 invited guests without a mask, even after he tweeted pictures of himself and his wife, Angela, wearing masks at the event and a picture of himself wearing what appears to be a different mask with other governors. The Arizona Democratic Party was quick to pounce on the disconnect between what Ducey preaches and what he actually does. Arizonans have made enormous sacrifices to contain the coronavirus, yet Ducey and Trump are openly flouting the very guidelines that hardworking people have had to follow, according to party spokesman Tyler Cherry. Ducey has been touting the need for people to wear masks in public, practice social distancing, and avoid large gatherings. But he hasn't issued a statewide mask order and, in fact, barred local governments from issuing them until the state saw a huge spike in virus cases in June. Since he allowed counties and cities to require them on June 17th, he and his media team have regularly pushed them and noted that 90% of the state's population is under a mask requirement. On July 23rd, he rolled out a $3 million state-funded ad campaign and revealed the Mask Up Arizona slogan. He repeatedly pushed the slogan in a subsequent media briefing, always arriving while wearing a mask. The governor's office didn't immediately respond to a request for comment yesterday. For most people, the new coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough, to clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia and death. So
That's a big concern here, Rob, but we want to let people know that we understand that you may not be able to wear a mask 24/7. But if you're in a large crowd, that's when you definitely need to be wearing it here. And so if you go out and you shop, you got to be careful about your fellow citizen. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. Our call-in line is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Alan Shoes. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. Rob, do you have an article that you can get our listeners involved in? Laughter in the pandemic. It's our third article we've read over the last few weeks on that. And maybe you can introduce this segment for us.
Sure, Alan. We've all heard the popular saying, laughter is the best medicine. But does that type of thinking apply to something as serious as a global pandemic? Most psychologists would say yes. Humor helps people take back their sense of power in a powerless situation, and it helps them connect with others. Two things we have lost during this pandemic. And although there's nothing particularly funny about what we're going through, science suggests that those funny memes, crazy TikTok videos, and snarky online quotes may be just what we need to ease the overwhelming fear, anxiety, and grief many of us are dealing with on a daily basis. Even loneliness has become as crushing as the pandemic itself, threatening to overwhelm people every day. Clearly, we need something to lighten the stress load we're experiencing, and humor can be just what the doctor ordered. Obviously, the seriousness of COVID-19 is no laughing matter, but people have to bear it. We all need to find a way to cope with the dangers and limitations we're facing or risk serious mental health consequences. For some, the answer may be laughter. In fact, laughter activates important feel-good hormones in the brain while also reducing stress-related hormones like cortisol. Laughter also increases the number of antibody-producing cells we have working in our bodies, and it enhances our T cells, which are at the core of adaptive immunity and help tailor our immune response. All of this equates to a stronger immune system. Research also indicates that humor benefits both a person's physical and psychological state. In fact, studies show that humor has the ability to provide pain relief, improve positive emotions, regulate stress, disengage from distress, and improve interpersonal communications. And according to the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor, people experience a 39% reduction in stress just by anticipating humor. There's also a physical release that comes through laughter. It's a cleansing sort of feeling that impacts us both physically and emotionally. Most people feel really good after laughing. In fact, many people report that they feel like a weight has been lifted. And at a time when so much is weighing us down, it can be very therapeutic to engage in some good-natured humor. Laughter is a free and easy stress management tool that can be used by just about anyone to lighten the mood and improve mental health. Here are some ways to add a little humor to your life during this challenging time. Subscribe to funny YouTube channels. There's nothing funnier than watching goofy pet videos. Even videos of babies doing silly things can be entertaining. So So if you're feeling a little down and want a good laugh, just log on to YouTube and search popular comedy or funny videos. Your regular YouTubers that make a living making others laugh, and they will have a regular stream of funny videos ready to go in your inbox. If you're wondering what to look for, you might try Good Mythical Morning. You also could check out The Holderness Family, Kristen and Danny Adams, or even Heatherland's I Ain't Doing It. Bad lip reading of the NFL is usually good for a few laughs, and the options are endless. Watch comedians online. There's countless ways to laugh, but laughing is important, Helen.
You know, I want to tell you one of my favorite ways to laugh, Rob, and that involves sarcasm. And I got to tell you, us sarcastic people, we're freaking smart.
Yes, you are.
Well, according to Parade Magazine, Rob, there's even some scientific merit to the claim that sarcastic people are very smart. One study from 2015, covered by Scientific American, found that sarcasm can actually increase creativity flow. Scientific American is the essential guide to the most awe-inspiring advances in science and technology, explaining how they change our understanding of the world and shaping our lives, and it covers advances in research and discovery, the online and publication Scientific American. Founded in 1845, it's the oldest published magazine in the United States.
Wow, that's unbelievable, Alan.
Well, think about it. Sarcasm doesn't come from nowhere. Good use of it indicates intellect. You have to be pretty crafty and clever to whip it up with a good sarcastic quote. I'm going to give you some examples right now. Number one, when people ask me stupid questions, it's my legal obligation to give a sarcastic remark.
Number two, I'm not saying I hate you. What I'm saying is that you are literally the Monday of my life.
Number three, silence is golden, duct tape is silver.
Number four, I'm busy right now. Can I ignore you some other time?
Number five, find your patience before I lose mine.
Number six, it's okay if you don't like me. Not everyone has good taste.
Number seven, do you think God gets stoned? I think so. Look at the platypus. That was by Robin Williams, the actor.
Number eight, light travels faster than sound. This is why some people appear bright until they speak. That's from Stephen Wright.
Number nine, if you find me offensive, then I suggest you quit finding me.
And number 10, sarcasm is the body's natural defense against stupidity.
Rob, can you believe I have another 190 of those sarcastic remarks that we could share with our audience in future shows?
Alan, it would be my wish that I don't believe it, but I do.
Well, we're going to move on to our Putts of the Week Award, and we're going to talk about our winner and save our nominees for the other nominees for future shows here. But our winner, Rob, do you have some information about who our winner for Putts of the Week?
Yes, our nominee and winner this week is the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who shot up Kenosha the other night and killed two people and injured one. She allowed him access to a gun. He was charged in connection with the shootings that killed the two people on Kenosha. The Knights of Unrest were set off by the Sunday shooting of Jacob Blake, a black man, in the back by Kenosha police officer Rustin Shiesky. Blake is paralyzed from the waist down and is still hospitalized in Milwaukee. Rittenhouse was taken into custody Wednesday in Illinois and is awaiting extradition to Wisconsin to face homicide charges in Kenosha County. Alan says there are Facebook posts that show Rittenhouse sitting close to the podium at a Trump rally and a different one showing Kyle in a military-type uniform next to his mother.
Well, Rob and I want to express our sympathy to the victims of the Kenosha tragedy that included two who died and one that was injured. But we think we needed to call out some his mother, because I think other people out there are just not paying attention to the safety of guns, and that's a big subject that I am very concerned about. And in this case, there was some other articles you can read up that things were not so great because of that someone threw something at him and then he shot them. And I think certain people should not have access to guns, don't you, Rob?
Absolutely, Alan. But these are things that we've been talking about for many years, and maybe one of these days we'll have some resolution to this issue. But as of now, almost anyone that wants one can get a weapon in this country. And I'm a gun owner. I know a lot of gun owners that are responsible, and that's a responsible thing to do. So we'll just have to see what happens. There's a lot of political things out there that we're all dealing with. And Alan, before we end our show, I'd like to send our condolences to the family of Lute Olson. We lost a real, real icon in Tucson this week. He meant a lot to everybody in the city and the state. He's a tremendous individual, and our hearts go out to his family and all his players. He was just a wonderful human being, and we're all going to miss him greatly. He was just a tremendous asset to the city of Tucson and the university.
I definitely agree with you, and I want people to keep on reading the newspaper. There's going to be additional articles in there. There'll be a section coming up about Lute Olson. So if you don't get the Arizona Daily Star as a publication in print, you should look at their online edition at Tucson.com. In any case, I want people to know that we're going to continue to do this show next week. But, Rob, do we have a guest yet for next week?
Well, Alan, we don't. I'm going to be working on a guest. I'm hoping to get a guest from the Tucson Association of Realtors to talk to us about the status of the real estate business in Tucson right now. Home sales seem to be doing very well, and might be an interesting subject for our listening audience. So we're going to work on that when I get back to town on Monday.
Yeah, I agree with you, because we already had somebody on about commercial real estate, and having someone about residential would be a very good topic. I want to remind our audience to catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. If you're a retailer or a restaurant owner or any business struggled through the last few months, or you're someone just interested in business, this is the show for you. It's Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey.
I'm Rob Davidson.
Please listen to us next week at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Back to Business with Rob and Alan.
Have a great week, everyone. Be well.